at what I thought in the past was the height of my musical career, I have never had this much response. I've never had this many people wanting to book us. I've had to turn down shows. I've had to say no to certain people because it just, there's no more room in the schedule. It's completely packed. And I love it. It's awesome to see that people want that music back in their lives and they want us to be a part of it and they want us to be out there. So even when it's come to gigs where I haven't been able to, my guys may have had a conflict. So in the past I've often been able to book alternate musicians. I haven't even been able to do that this summer. Like, everybody is so busy that it's wonderful to see that, you know, people want us back out in their communities and they haven't forgotten about us. And we are ever so grateful for keeping us in mind and bringing us back out, because we are just as excited to get on the road as people are to see us.
So how many young people or emerging artists, you call them, they're men and women or young teens, I don't know, what age group are they and what sorts of questions are they coming to you for assistance?
Well, I was fortunate enough that they split this tour into two pieces. I did the southern leg of the Manitoba Indigenous Tour with two young Indigenous women. They were probably in their 20s, 30s. And I did the northern leg with a couple of young gentlemen, again, 20s, 30s. And they had questions, everything from, you know, how to find funding to how to book a tour to how to find musicians to join your band, and just all questions in between. So I, you know, I answered all their questions to the best of my ability. I also told them that if there's something they're looking for specifically, I do have at least the resources and the contacts that if I don't have the answers to certain questions, I feel I can find them. And part of this Indigenous tour was also to hold what I guess we called the Music Mastery Workshop, where I basically went in front of the communities and I talked about my experiences as an artist, how I got started, kind of some of the uphill climbs I had during my entire journey and how I overcame them. And I answered questions. And again, I offered that up to people that if they have questions in the future, you know, please reach out to me. I'm always willing to help anybody kind of find their way in this very complex, very involved industry. And if I can't, again, I know people who can answer those questions. And the reason I offer this to people is because when I was first starting out, I would have loved to have that resource where I could pick their brain and they were always going to be willing to help me and able to help me. And instead of, I feel for various parts of my musical career, I was just kind of stumbling around in a fog, just trying to figure out what is the next step? Where do I go from here? How do I get to this next level? You know, I'm hiring all these people in the past. Is that something I can do myself or do I need them? Or how are they enhancing my careers? Because everything costs money in this industry. So if you can save a little bit of money on certain things that you might be able to do yourself, then all the power to you. That's what I've slowly learned over the years, is there's certain things I'm capable of doing and certain things that I would like a little bit of help with. And actually now, some of the people that I hire, it's no longer I just give them the whole thing and let them run with it. I work in conjunction with them. So they do certain parts of it and I do certain parts of it. And as long as we're in contact with each other, there's not a lot of overlap, but it doubles the amount of opportunities you have for things like interviews, showcases, you know, at least even getting your song into a music meeting with some of the bigger stations, because that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck, is to get onto those big stations if you can. And often the biggest hurdle is to just get them to say, okay, we'll take this into the music meeting because we have 400 songs that were submitted to us this week and we can only listen to so many. It's a finite number. So staying on top of that and just being very consistent with the type of music that we're releasing and producing So that people know that when they go to listen to a Jerry Sirota song or something that Troy Kokol produced, it's going to have a consistency behind it, and it's going to have kind of a caliber of playability behind it as well.
So that leads into the new one that you sent out. We were given the song before it was actually officially released, and we played it 2 weeks in a row before the 12th of August, and we were given permission. But I received emails and a telephone call from people north of Kingston, Ontario, that said they really liked this song. Could I play it again sometime? And also, how do they get more of your music? So I've given out the website. It's www.jerrysirota, that's jerrysireda.com. And I hope that people can check in and see you and see where you're going to be. But how do they get at your music?
You know, I'm ever so grateful that you did play it before it was released, and I'm happy to hear that people did respond to it. I was wondering how this came about, but I actually got a few phone calls from Northern Ontario, looking to book us for some shows. And, we weren't able to work it out this time. The deadlines were just too tight, and I just had no opportunities to be able to make it to their communities. But I did have a conversation with them, and I did say that we're very interested in coming out there. And to reach out to us for future events and future opportunities. So you're very grateful for that. Very happy that people are hearing it. And the best way for people to get at our music is, I do this very purposefully. I know that I can always tell people my music is on Spotify, my music is on Amazon, it's on Apple, it's on YouTube. But you know, some people don't necessarily have the ability to access that, or it's a paid subscription and they can't get to it. So on jerrysirota.com, I actually put all of my songs in their entirety, all of my videos in their entirety, so that people can watch them, listen to them for free, and to share. So I always want to give people access to hear what it is that we do, and I always promise people this. I say, because I'm allowing you to hear my music for free, if you bring us out to do a show for you, I will give you all that I have, both physically and mentally, by the time I'm done my show. I really do give it all. I think I take my lead from people like Garth Brooks, where he really gets out there and he realizes there's an aspect to a show that people cannot just listen to. They need to see you. They need to interact with you. And that interaction needs to be mutual. So I always promise people that it'll be a show that they'll remember. And we're always happy to back that up and prove people that that's exactly what we do. Because I do believe that because people can listen to my music, a live show needs to give them something a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm. But having the interaction to talk to you when you're there, because that's what a lot of people want to do. They want to be able to get there, hear the music, see the musician, and then have a chance after it's done to get to talk to you. So do you take time after your shows to talk to people? I know you're going to be tired. I've seen that with many musicians visiting in the Kingston area. But do you give yourself that time with people?
That is probably the biggest part of what we do, is I want to meet every single person that wants to meet me, because, you know, you often meet people who are very grateful to meet me, and I want to ensure them that I'm grateful to meet them. I'm grateful that they came out and they shared a moment with me, and that I get to meet them in person, shake their hand, give them a hug, whatever they want to do, take a photo, sign something, and just have a conversation with me. You know, let me know what's going on in your world. What did you like about the show? What did you not like about the show? You know, what's going on in your community, and how can I help? How can I be a part of your bigger story? It's for me, it's very important. I've met a lot of people throughout the years. where, you know, they're very grateful to meet me, and it really truly is my pleasure. It really is. It's sometimes hard to maintain composure on stage when people are out there to see you and they're singing your songs, and you know that they know who you are. And to me, there's no bigger reward than getting to meet that person and saying thank you for everything, because you really are my dream come true, because you are you're helping me to do what I love to do. And without those people coming up to meet me and me getting to meet them, I really do think I wouldn't have the career that I have now.
Well, it's pretty exciting to hear you say all of that, because to me it's important to hear your voice, and even though we've played your song a couple of times, but also to regret the fact that I'm not doing this with a video so we can actually meet physically this way, virtually. But it's really quite interesting, because in your voice I also hear that you're bringing some of your grandmother, and I know I read some of the material, but some of your grandmother's coming through there in how you're thinking and learn how you have been learning. But now, what's been the impact with your grandmother on your career? She was there when you started, I assume, but yeah. As you got going, what was it like?
You know, she taught me how to play guitar, and I'll never forget any of those moments that we spent, you know, playing guitar and learning guitar. And when I started releasing music, I mean, every time she would come over, as tired or as reluctant as I wanted to be, she would always say, "Did you write any new songs? Have you learned any new songs? Can you show me?" And, you know, she really was somebody who was always a champion for me to keep moving forward with the music. And we unfortunately lost her back in 2018, and but I will never, ever, ever forget or take for granted those moments we spent together. In fact, if I could go back in time, I wish I'd spent more. I wish I'd spent more time playing with her and singing to her. And she really did give me that that spirit of appreciation for what music is and what music can do, because it's always been my therapy. And I think for a long time I didn't, you know, I'm just a storyteller. I'm a storyteller that was taught a few guitar chords, and I started doing music. And being able to share that is just, it's something that I think is almost surreal sometimes. I show up at places and I'm like, who would come to hear me sing? Like, who would come to watch this show? It's just my simple stories and a few chords and some great drum beats and loops and stuff. But, my grandmother was really the one that showed me the honesty and the love and compassion that goes behind those experiences. So miss her every day, but I know her spirit will still reside in me and in my music for as long as I can play that guitar.
Did your grandmother ever pick favorites that you know of? Or did she just listen to you playing and doing, and then make cookies or cake or, you know, my grandmother used to make small meals with us. And in our case, my grandmother sat with us when we were teenagers, and peanut butter banana sandwiches was her favorite.
You know, I don't think she had favorites. I mean, she had songs that she grew up with, and they were songs that I learned, and I always play when I get a chance to just jam some cover tunes by myself with an acoustic guitar in front of a live audience, and I always tell the stories behind them. But you know, she had such a spirit, and I'll never forget that spirit. She used to come over to my place, and she was 95 years old, by no means frail. She was a strong lady, but we always, you know, we protect our elders and we try to keep them safe and keep them out of harm's way. So she used to find little sneaky ways. She used to tell me, she's like, I'm just going to go use the bathroom and I'll be right back. I'm like, okay. So she'd go and, you know, 30, 40 minutes would pass. I'm like, where is grandma? Where'd she go? So I'd go check the bathroom. She's not there. So I'm now worried. I'm looking all over the place for her. And bless her heart, I find her out in my backyard. It's probably plus 32 degrees in the summer. And she's weeding my flower bed. And I came out there. I'm like, what are you doing? Come on, get inside where it's cool. Like, get out of the sun. And so she reluctantly comes with me. And she used to go sit back down in her chair. And she'd pick up her tea. And she'd finish her tea. She'd put the cup down. And then she'd stand back up. And I'm like, where are you going now? She said, I have to go finish my chores. I'm like, Grandma, you don't have any chores. But she really showed me the spirit of hard work and the spirit of enjoying what you do. I realized that for her, going and weeding the garden, the flower garden, wasn't what she considered a chore. She loved doing it. She loved being out there. She loved seeing how beautiful everything looked when it was done, when the work was put in. And I take kind of that spirit into music with me, you know. There's a lot of hard work that's done in order to get music out there. But then you get to step back and look at the beauty of what the team has created and people enjoying that. So my grandmother not only taught me music, she taught me the importance of hard work and loving what you do.
And that's a great segue into this new song that you sent out, and Back Road Therapy. Do you want to tell me a little bit about it, and then I'll play the song after, and then we'll come back and have a conversation about your education and your role in education. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. You know, Back Road Therapy came about, I often write down ideas or song ideas as the day progresses, and often maybe it's a couple of lines, maybe it's a melody and I'll record that on my phone, maybe it's just an idea. And I remember thinking about Back Road Therapy and thinking about, well, the way I decided to do Back Road Therapy was, and this kind of goes to my educational background. I had just finished a very, very hard day of working with youth. And at the time, I was working with youth that either they had cognitive or physical impairments. And my job was to go in and introduce technology that might be useful to help them accomplish everyday tasks that we take for granted. And I had went in to work with this one student who had spent 17 years of his life just kind of having people assume he's not capable of doing anything. So we're just going to put movies on and we're going to, you know, sit him in front of a video screen and let him watch this stuff. And we went in there, we had the conversation with the people around him, his support team, and we said, this is a very capable person. And through the course of our first session with this student, we were able to hook up some technology that allowed this student for the first time in his life to be able to read a book by himself and to be able to do what we call emergent literacy, which was he was able to write a few things, even though he didn't know what he was writing because he'd never been given that opportunity. So I left that day very happy that we were able to help this student, but very, very angry and frustrated that for years nobody had given this young boy a chance. And I was frustrated at the end of the day, and I knew I had to write a song. So we sat down, and my producer was one of the songwriters on this song, and a guy from Green Hills Music down in the U.S. was the other songwriter. And we first started talking about ideas. So they presented a few ideas that they said, what about this? What about this? And finally it was Troy who picked up on it. He said, are you okay, Jerry? Like, you seem off. I was like, no, I'm not okay. I was like, I'm not okay at all. I'm really frustrated. I'm frustrated with the way things went today. I'm frustrated with work. I'm frustrated with so many people in this world that need help and they're not getting the help that they need. He's like, holy, like, I just kind of, I'm calm now telling this story, but at the time it came across very abrupt and they could sense the frustration and they're like, wow. They're like, do you need to do this songwriting session maybe another day? And I said, no, actually, I said, I was thinking about this the whole way here. I said, and I wrote down an idea called Backroad Therapy. I said, when I used to get frustrated like this when I was growing up, even during the pandemic, I said, when things were overwhelming for me, I found solace in being able to take a drive when we were allowed to with a friend or with a loved one and to just cruise down a back road and listen to music and laugh, enjoy the scenery, you know, stop by a creek, go for a swim, just everything that's beautiful about nature was it, because I grew up in the country, it's always been very soothing and very grounding to me. And I told him, I said, why don't we write this? I said, because I know that in writing this song, it's going to allow me to kind of vent my frustrations, but also remember the things in life that allow me to reset. So we started writing Backroad Therapy and they said, well, how would we start this? And I said, well, when we first started talking today, I said, I felt like a kettle on a stove. I said, you know, it's heating up and it's whistling and it's about ready to explode. I said, that's how I felt. And that became the first line of the song, like a kettle on a stove, something's going to blow, life's cranking up the heat. And we sat down, we wrote it, and when it was done, I remember saying, it's perfect, just like that. And I felt a lot better afterwards. Because during the writing session, I was able to mentally go to that place. I was able to go to the place where you got somebody you love beside you. And you got the beauty of Canada all around you. And you don't have all the pressures that are pushing down. Often when you go to the country, there's no cell phone service, so you don't have anybody blowing up your phone saying, hey, what about this? It's like, no, for once, it's peaceful, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not distracted by the things going on in the world, and there's so many overwhelming things. So Backroad Therapy was my therapy that day, and it's been my therapy ever since. I mean, since we released this song, it reminds me of the beauty of the simpler times and the opportunities I've had to share with friends and family and be able to go down that literal and hypothetical back road and just be in the moment.
Well, Jerry Serretta, I really appreciate you telling us all about that. I know you have taken a number of people here in our little corner of Canada and given them, they didn't know the background to this, but once they hear it, they're going to enjoy the song even more than they already have. So we're going to play Backroad Therapy by Jerry Serretta. Boy, that's you know how to do this, don't you? That's 30 minutes, 41 seconds, and I've got it written down on my pad here. Play the song now. Oh, yeah. I love that. That's that, because when I first heard this, I heard it here in my I got a little room that looks out over the backyard at the trees that I planted 30 years ago. They're all bringing shade and wind you know, the sunlight moves all the time because the wind is moving the trees. And when I listened to it, I couldn't put my headset down. You know, normally I would just put it on the speakers and then walk around. But you took me to a back road when I was probably 19. Yeah. And I'm 72 now, so you know, you took me back there, and I kept saying to my wife that, you know what, this is like when we first met at university in 1970.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was, so you've transported two people back to our younger days. So I just hope, and I know the person who called me from, you know, north of us, and this fellow is named Martin, and so I'll write to him and tell him that it's going to be on next Tuesday night, and he'll hear all about this.
Yeah.
Now, is there something else you wanted to add after the song, or do you want to go right into talking about the other aspect with the land-based learning?
You know, I think I've said everything I need to about that. I mean, you asked me some really good questions, and I really appreciate that. It really got me thinking, and really took me back to that moment. And I also think that story's a good segue into my passion for working with youth and for being an educator and being a counselor and being, you know, an assistive technology consultant and all the things I've done throughout my life. So I think that's a perfect place to just segue into the next part.
Okay. Now, quick question. Are you teaching now or working now in education?
I am currently taking some time to just focus on music. But okay. What I am doing in the meantime is I am working with Manitoba. I'm part of the Manitoba Indigenous Music Committee, and I'm also a member of the Manitoba Music Committee as well. And what I was approached by a friend who was a former chief and was also a former bass player for Buffy St. Marie. Mm. And he talked about having a conversation with some people at it's an online high school, and he talked about developing a course that would introduce music and the music business to Indigenous communities across the north that are more isolated and may not have access to the resources that we have access to. So I told him, I said, I will take this on personally, and I will talk to these different committees. I will get this started. And because of my background, I have my master's in curriculum development. I want to make this so it's a course that not only is informative and useful to students and people who want to find out about the music industry and how to find things like funding, marketing, touring, agents, publishing, singing, songwriting, guitar playing. Take all of that and package it up so that I want to have it done with, you know, some of the famous musicians that northern communities might know, like your Don Ameros or your Desiree Dorians, and get them to teach some of the units, but at the same time, make sure that it meets Manitoba and possibly other province curriculum standards, so that not only will students be able to take this, but get credit for it.
Now, are the students high school students, or are you also getting in with, say, grade 7, grade 8 students?
I'm going to make this very open-ended, so it can be for whatever grade they're willing to do it for. Because I know kind of how the curriculum works, that means I need to put at least 100 hours of material together, which is a lot. But I feel that there's a lot of information that is not being imparted onto, especially our Indigenous youth in remote communities, that I think would be very beneficial. Because every time I've went to a northern community or an isolated community, there are always amazing musicians there. There's great singers, there's great songwriters, there's great instrumentalists. But they don't know what there is out there for them, and they don't know how to get started, and they don't, you know, a lot of people I've run into just, they've kind of hit that dead end where they're like, well, I just kind of play music here, and every now and then I jam at our community celebrations, and I would like to be able to give them the avenue and the resources to be able to reach out to a larger community and to showcase how incredible they are to everybody across Canada. At one point in time, I had this dream where I had developed an entire proposal that involved me going across all of the northern reserves across northern Canada. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take with me a band, and I wanted to, in each community, hold sessions very similar to this that would showcase some of the stuff that is available to Indigenous musicians and artists. But I also wanted to be able to put on a show for their community and bring their local people up on stage, and either we back them or support them in some way to showcase their ability. And I wanted to film all of this. I wanted to show people the talent that exists in all of these communities. And I also wanted to show people the beauty and the culture that exists in all these communities, and kind of make it into like a web series or something along those lines. And I still have aspirations to do that, because I'm very passionate about our youth. I think that is our future. But I'm also very passionate about music. And I know that sometimes some of our most talented musicians are falling under the radar because they don't know where to go with the talent that they've been given and that they've learned through the years. And I would like to show people that.
Mm-hmm. As you say that, there are... I know that there are people who worked with in schools with video and try to encourage the young people to make their own videos and their own songs. And there was a series that we reported on here at Aboriginal Voices, I'm thinking about 10 years ago. And the Quinte Mohawk School, grades 7 and 8 classes, they wrote their own songs and then sang the songs, but they had technicians come in and help with the production of the songs, and they then put out a CD and shared it with the community. And they're online somewhere, but then I know there are some that were done in the Mi'kmaq community and in the Maritimes, and some in the Cree community. I think it was Northern Alberta, but I'm not sure. Had you heard anything about those other projects?
Actually, no. This is the first I'm hearing about it. So this is
I'm just trying to look it up right now. So this is between you and me right now. I'm going to interrupt the conversation. Yeah. But I think it was called Dark Spark. Dark something or other. Dark Spark. No, it's not here.
Oh, yeah, I see Dark Spark. Darkspark.org, empowerment through song.
There, that's okay. That must be it, because I was going through one of the songs that they wrote. But I ended up calling to the schools where they were and talking with teachers who were involved to see the impact of it. Yeah. And I'm going to validate what you're saying here, is that what is needed is that just needs that impetus to come in, because now, wow. I'm just thinking now, it was probably 6 years ago, because two of those students from the community, the Quinte Mohawk school, yeah, the Mohawk school, they finished university, and one's in master's in music.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so, like you said, you don't know where it's going to take them, but what you're saying is more valuable than... Your dream is so important for those young people to have dreams. And I would I would kind of guide you to say, go and look and see what it is called Dark Spark, is it?
Yeah, it's darkspark.org, and I did just bookmark it, so I will definitely
good.
Be checking
okay.
that out later.
And then another one that I know, Florent Volant, and he is a musician from part of Cashton. He's a... And he's a producer and a songwriter as well, but he works in Montreal. But he and his cousin, Claude McKenzie, they traveled across Canada to communities, but their focus was to bring a drum and to learn from the people in the communities how they use the drum. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
and,
really
and,
cool,
and,
too.
And that, yeah, I knew you would be interested. So, see... I'm a placeholder here at Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for somebody to come along and take it away from me, okay? But I am not a musician. My brothers, they all got it. Like, there are four boys in the family. My brothers all got the music. I didn't. I got the sports side of it. But I know when I interviewed Florent Volant and...
How do you spell that?
Florent? Oh, jeepers. I'm going to have to... I'll have to type it in.
What's his name?
V-O-L-L-A-N-T. Florent. Where is it?
Oh, I found it.
Oh, is it an E on the end?
It's, yeah. I can see his I got his website here.
Okay, yeah.
So that'll at least give me a start. I'll bookmark that.
Yeah, and talk to him about his project with going across, and because he was working with indigenous, and I think he's Innu, so he would be like towards Sept-Îles, across from Gaspé area.
Right.
In Quebec. But he has lived and worked in Montreal, and he has worked with young people too, young musicians. So
that's awesome.
Those are the people you want to talk to more, because you could say, okay, here are some ideas and here's where we're going with it. And the technology these days, I know that I have a recorder, a little Roland recorder that I can take into a classroom with students I have, and they read their stories or their poems or whatever it is, and we produce it for radio right there with a computer, a little laptop.
Yeah.
So, as I said, CFRC just went into the heavy-duty digital world. So now we have microphones set up in a studio. Each one is separate and doesn't need lines. It goes directly to a tiny the control board is so small. It's about the size of a notebook.
Yeah.
And I can set the gains. I mean, all the stuff I used to do with a huge board, right?
Yeah.
At the control room, in a control room. But this is now so portable that you can carry it in a small backpack. I call it a camera bag backpack. But
right, yeah.
And you could do the same thing. And if the school community wants to keep it, then that was one of my ideas, was to go into a school community, show them how to do it, work with them, train them a little bit, and ask the teachers if they want to keep it here for the kids, and I'll come and pick it up later. And I never got to that part of it, but my next step would have been the school board could pay for it, and I just go pick up a new set and keep going.
Yeah.
But I love what you're wanting to do there. So I would say, because you're going to hit kids who have nothing in school. This is the teacher in me coming out, okay? Because I started with high school special education students when I started in 1978 here in Ontario. And I had the principal say, or not the vice principal say, the day they hired me was, we'll know you're doing a good job if we never see those kids again. And I thought, yeah, guess what?
That makes
me autonomous. Look out.
Yeah.
And I spent 2 years with those students, and then some of the students came back. I only had them for grade 8 and 9, and some of them came back for 10 and 11 because it was a safe place to be, and also they learned that they could learn.
Right.
And
right.
It sounds to me like that's why you wrote that song.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I just interrupted your interview. So, you're making me think, that this is really, I love to hear it, and I would support it in any way you need.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Because we could do this, remote, and there's one program, I haven't got it working properly yet, Zencastr, Zencastr. And it gives me video and audio, but it gives me the audio of each person as a track.
Yeah.
And so you could use that kind of technology to be wherever you are in Canada with a group that's practicing and trying something, but you could go in and see what they have. I saw it working. I couldn't get it working myself in 20 minutes. But I saw another broadcaster here at CFRC show me very quickly how they use it. And I thought, ooh, I like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, because you're a producer. You're probably an engineer, too.
I do a little bit of it, but it's not at the same level. I don't think that my stuff would be... I'm not sure if I'm at that level where I would say the stuff that I'm making is going to be radio ready, but I'm definitely past the emerging stage in terms of being able to engineer some of my own stuff.
So the excitement that you're going to bring to the schools You know, the people are, they don't know what you're bringing. So how do you say this is what we're going to bring to a group of teachers who are going to have to hope that this person's good? You know, so how do you let them know?
Well, I think in terms of quality control, for right now, like, we're just really looking at putting together parcels of information that are very, very informative, very well thought out. And, you know, being in the field of education, I wouldn't say that this is stuff that I'm inventing all by myself. This is stuff that I'm working with a team of people with. And and as a teacher, like, when I used to teach technology-based courses, what I used to do is say, okay, if I'm going to teach my students about digital photography or computer science or graphic arts, what is the next level of education doing in terms of their own curriculums and materials that they present? So I would do my research and look at what's offered by the university, what's offered by the colleges, what do their course structures look like, what does the course content look like, and I would work backwards from that. And I would make sure that by the time my students got to that level, they had that information already. So I often find that's what a lot of high school courses do, is they, if I take biology in high school, when I took my first year of university, all of the biology I took was a refresher of, you know, what I had taken in high school. So I, for music, I look at places like, one of the big ones is Berkeley down in the U.S. What are they offering in terms of songwriting, producing, singing, songwriting, marketing? Because all of that's already been done. So what are their really important topics? And then how can we address that on a Canadian level? How can we address that even more specifically on, you know, I'm working with some Manitoba people. So on a Manitoba level, how do we make those ideas fit into the curriculum so that students can get credit for that? If it's in the songwriting category, maybe it's through an English credit. If it's in the music category, maybe it's through a music credit. But how can students also get credit for this while meeting what has already been proven at an international level to be the music standards for... because, I mean, you look at who went through Berkeley, and one of the big names that comes to mind is John Mayer. John Mayer went through Berkeley, and he became one of their big success stories. So they have a little bit of idea what's going on in the music industry. So take some of that, take some of my personal experience, and in connection with other music professionals throughout Canada, find out what should be really important material that everybody that's going into the music industry should know a little bit about.
I'm going to add to that a little bit, because as you're telling me these things, I think, oh, you know, what could schools do? What could parents do in the community? And I'm going to link back to something that you said before, but I've heard other radio engineers and musicians talk about this, but is build a sound toolbox or a toolkit. And you know, I'm just thinking about those young people getting started with sound. It doesn't matter what age group, 5, 6, 7 years old, or 11, 12, 13 year olds, or even older. And they could get out into the community where they are, whether it's the schoolyard, they're back home, you know, the edge of the river, the edge of the lake, or even 10 meters back. What are the sounds that you can hear? And how can we share those? And it might lead to music, in like you, where you create your own songs, or it might lead to background music for us to have as a conversation, like around the campfire.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cue the campfire.
Cue the campfire. Yeah. I'm always down for the campfire.
Oh, good.
So if somebody's having a bonfire, just tell me when and where, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Oh, fabulous. And as long as there aren't too many bugs around, right?
Wow, that's the one thing about this Canadian summer, is it's been a lot of moisture around from coast to coast, and man, are those mosquitoes big. You almost need a tennis racket to hit them away. That's a true story. I was like, that's not a mosquito. That that are the size of dragonflies now. So I can see why the numbers aren't going down, because they dragonflies having a hard enough time eating the small ones, let alone the big ones.
Okay. Well, you may be talking about a change in the ecosystem that's going to bring dragonflies that are going to be twice the size of airplanes.
I hope that's not a premonition here, because I love dragonflies too. They're beautiful, but if they get much bigger.
That'll be your next song.
Yeah, yeah. The big dragonflies.
There you go. Yeah, how big can they get? Yeah. Well, Jerry, I'm really pleased to have some time to talk to you about this. And what would you suggest parents might like to do to encourage their children in the home and in the community? It doesn't matter where they are, whether they're remote in the woods or in a city.
You know, there's a lot of resources out there and a lot of supports for parents and for students, whether they're in urban cities or rural communities or remote communities. I really think it's about encouraging children to try new things. Not every student is going to be a musician. Not every student's going to be an athlete. Not every student's going to be an academic. Not every student's going to be like a vocational track. But, I mean, the more that they get exposed to, the more experiences they know how to do, I think the better informed they are in terms of life. And, you know, as a teacher, my biggest goal was always to not necessarily give students or assume students are going to all be digital photographers or graphic designers or computer scientists, but to give them a very positive experience in learning that material so that they have that information and they're well informed. But the biggest thing that was always on my mind as a teacher is a couple of years, either depending on whether they're grade 12 or grade 9 or grade 7 or grade 8, they were either leaving my classroom in a year or a couple of years from now. What skills do they really need to know to function in society? And I think everything from knowing how to understand what a tax statement is to understanding how to look at a website and be able to analyze whether it's a viable source or not, something that you can trust or something that you should really say, did this come from some research that's been done, or was this just some guy named Bob who decided to post something that he didn't like or liked, or where does the source come from? All the way to being able to change a tire and you know, all of those life skills that we need as adults that we don't sometimes even know we need until we know we need them. So I feel that every parent out there has certain skills that they've learned throughout the years, and I just hope that they're sharing that with their children and encouraging them to try new things, because sometimes kids may not know that they really enjoy something until they try it. And then when they try it, if they have a positive experience doing it, they're like, wow, where has this been my whole life? Why have I not started this sooner? So for me, it's all about the experiences, and it's all about just looking at the diversity of life and the things that we need to be able to do around us, and having kids who are confident in making informed decisions. And if they don't know how to make that informed decision, that they have people they trust, whether it's parents, teachers, counselors, people in the community, elders, that they can go and approach and say, I'm really struggling with this issue, or I'm really struggling with this idea. You know, what can you tell me? How, what do you think? You know, it's very important to support our youth as they're developing their own identity. And the more resources we can give them, and the more help we can give them, and the more love we can show them in it's okay to make the wrong decision. It's okay to mess up once in a while. You know, what have we learned from this? How can we do better next time? Where can we go from here? Just that love, support, and encouraging to diversify experiences throughout life.
Jerry Serretta, I do appreciate all you've shared with us today, and I'm going to leave it there, and we're going to go straight to a piece of music that you might like. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
No, I think we
that was
a lot
fabulous.
Today.
Yeah, 56 minutes so far. I don't know how long this is going to let me go, but no, that was excellent. A great wrap up, and it's always impressive to hear somebody who's really passionate about education, and it sounds like you really are. Now, I have to warn you that if you had run into me in the late 1990s when I was teaching at Queen's University, we would have had a conversation about the curriculum branch and the evaluation branch at the Ontario Ministry of Education.
I think it's the same across Canada. I feel there's always, there's always the curriculum people and there's always the evaluation people, and the biggest thing I've learned from education is it's the business of relationships. And the curriculum is great. Evaluation is what evaluation is. But the truth is, a good teacher is always evaluating their students. And it's not about what you remember. It's about understanding the processing behind it and being able to make great decisions. And if you can't make a great decision, knowing where the resources lie to help you make that good decision.
Yeah, we'll have to get four or five people around the campfire to talk about that. I'm thinking five, because if you and I were both there, we would have so much fun rattling their chain.
Oh yeah,
because my big thing is that when I taught, part of my role as a teacher at the Faculty of Education here at Queen's was to work with teachers who were, not pre-service teachers who are struggling with what do I do, how do I do it, but with the in-service for teachers as, they call them AQ courses, additional qualification courses, and there are three levels, the beginning, middle, and specialist in the areas. And I did technology, computers in the classroom, technology and science and technology. And I would always get them outdoors with kids, and I put a project together where six kindergarten teachers, and then I ended up having grade one teachers upset because they weren't included, so we got them in too. And I put 10 Nikon point-and-shoot digital cameras in a box, and I gave them everything they needed, the chargers, the cards and everything, the card readers for their computers. And the project was teach the kids how to turn them on and off safely. And here's the button that takes your picture. And because they're kindergarten, I said, you can't take any more than five. And the one kindergarten child said to me, how do I know when I get to five?
Yeah.
And I said, hold up your hand. Okay. That's how many.
Yeah,
and he looked at me and said, "I know that."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's what everybody's going to do, so that we didn't have tons of them to go through. That's all. But then we took them to the park. They'd never been to this park, and everybody had to get a picture or two or whatever, no more than five. And when we came back, we put them all together in a slideshow, and we had children. The language just started coming out. And I look at the indigenous languages being taught in schools. Here's a chance to bring out the language because they're at this stage of learning. But these kids, they didn't know the name of many of the things that they saw, but they started trying to describe it. And I thought, this is perfect. And then the teacher's job was for the next 3 weeks to go out every 2 days, if they could. Doesn't matter what the weather, except when it's really dangerous, lightning. And do the same thing. It only takes 20 minutes max, because the kids know. They've been there before. And the first couple of times, you're going to get this flood of everything, And then the second time, it's a little less flooded. And by the fifth or sixth time, they were going out with a purpose. They're going out to find something that is green or something that has a rock in it or they would make it up what they wanted to do. And then by after Christmas, we did this as a whole year project. And after Christmas, they went out, but all the students picked a theme together, and off they went to the same spot. And they found, well, one of the questions in February was, what color's the grass under the snow?
Yeah.
And I looked and said, you know what I would do? And one little guy said, yeah, you're going to make us put our snowsuits on and go and dig in it. Well, do you want to bring a shovel? Yeah. That's exactly what we're going to do. You know, and then it looked like a bunch of ducks in a pond. They were all heads down, digging up the snow, and their bottoms up. It was just the funniest thing. But and then they came and said, do you know what color it is? And I said, I'm going to learn. And they gave me a color. And I thought, wow, this is great. They'll remember that.
Yes, of course they will.
Yeah. So that's what you get to do. You go in with kids and you just see where they take you, right? Well, Jerry, I've taken an awful lot of time, and you must be tired after being... You were just up the road, though, from Winnipeg to Verdun, was it?
Yeah, it was about a three-hour drive last night, but...
Yeah.
That's okay. It was the... We drove from up north down to Verdun, so it was 5.5 hours from there, and then it was... We did our show, and then 3 hours back here, but... I'm done now until... early next week, so I get a few days off, and it's just going to be all about focusing on recording. We're doing some more recording, and we're doing and I'm starting back on Monday. I'm starting to work with that project we just talked about with music.
Well, you've got a couple of resources to go, and Florent Volant, you type his name in. He would be an excellent resource for brainstorming crazy ideas, because
for sure it would.
And he's worked with a lot of indigenous musicians over his time. I hope he's still okay. You know, because I haven't seen very much new. Oh, wait a sec. Here's one, March 16th, 2021.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I see a song that he's got there.
Nice.
Yeah, I just on his list on my Google search. But you know, keep me in mind if you get something really fun going, or you have some musicians who would like to talk to us. You know, this is my therapy after retiring 10 years ago. I retired at the wrong time, I think.
Sure. So what would be the best way to get a hold of you?
Aboriginal Voices at CFRC is good. And then if it changes, I will be in touch with you. And and if you don't mind, later in the year, I could maybe contact you and have another shorter chat than this. Okay, don't want to take all your time. But but certainly if see how your project's going. Would that be all right?
Yeah. So it's Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.ca. I'll just send you a quick checking in.
Okay. I'll just check here before we go. This quality of this clean feed today is just perfect.
Okay, here we go.
And you know someone named Carrie, I assume.
Yep, I sure do.
She's the one who's been sending me information.
Yeah, she's been... You know, it's... I haven't had a lot of... I've been one of those people that I started kind of doing it all myself. Everything from radio tracking to PR to just everything. But I heard some really good things about Carrie and her team, and I brought them on board to help work this single, and they've done an absolutely fantastic job. I got nothing but good things to say about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first introduction was earlier, I guess...
Hold on. It bounced back to me.
Okay, Aboriginal, all one word, all lowercase, Aboriginal Voices.
Ah, I put voice.
Oh, okay.
Let me try again. It's a good thing I checked.
Yeah, do you want me to send you one?
Well, I should have you now here. I'll just send it so that it's saved in my...
Okay.
CFRC.com?
No, but .ca.
Right. Right. Okay. I'll just put test. There, I'll just send a test. It should come through.
It has to go to California and then...
and then come back.
I heard something ring out downstairs, but not here at my computer.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting today. I've had a lot of fun. Okay. Like I said, some good questions got me thinking.
Which
took me back, so... It's always good, too.
I'm going to contact. I'm just going to send this to you because I heard a ring downstairs. There's another one. Oh, maybe it's here. Anyway. Oh yeah, there you are. Test. Thank you.
Perfect.
Oh well, thank you very much. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, no, it's
you've made my day, and I. But but you also made it busy because now I have to go and edit and get it ready for Tuesday night.